Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Gigi in the 561. I'm Pam Barker. Thank you for joining me. I have a guest today, Gary, G-E-R-R-Y, pronounced Gary's with me today. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Pam, and thank you for getting it right.
Lee, love having this conversation about your name, our last name, Barker, call Baker. It's a whole big, that's a whole other podcast.
It's a whole big thing, yeah.
Thanks for being here. We have some work being done in our building and can get really loud. So we are trying to tolerate it because the work needs to be done. But we are also finding things to do away from home, which puts us in the car to listen to music and have great conversations like the one we had in the car today. Now, you can get serious in the car too. I mean, but this was kind of fun and it made me want to do a podcast about children's games and the dreaded
dodgeball.
Yes. Oh, as a kid, I hated that game so much.
Yeah. You always had somebody that wanted to throw the ball really hard.
Yeah, and hit you hard, and it hurt.
Yes, they wanted to see how hard they could throw it.
Yeah, it hurt a lot. And what we realized, we were wondering if kids do still play this. And in doing a little bit of research, we discovered, I honestly have never watched the film Dodgeball. I don't even know anything about it. Have you watched that movie?
I have. It's been a long time ago, but I don't remember a lot about it, frankly.
What we were wondering, if children still play these outdoor games that are timeless. They have been played forever. And in doing research, it looks like, yeah, sort of they do. And not only do they, but there's sort of international competitions with things like dodgeball.
Yeah, I think it's really gotten more competitive. There's a lot of differences between we were growing up, where we didn't have the distraction of video games,
right,
and devices and iPads and phones and,
yeah,
500 TV channels.
Yeah.
You know, we were lucky to get three.
Well, and you can actually do dodgeball online. I did discover that in doing the research for this
podcast.
Oh,
I've got something on the VR, on the PlayStation VR, you know, it's kind of, they call it the same as dodgeball.
That's right.
Yeah.
Which has its place now, you know, but it's also good to be outside. As you know, being outside is kind of my thing.
Well, when we were kids, I mean, we spent 90% of our time outside.
Yeah.
I mean,
riding,
you know,
bicycles and.
Oh yeah, we wanted to be outdoors as much as possible.
Well, I didn't really get to do what I didn't have the freedom that you had, taking off on the bicycle for endless times. I had to stay on my street. But you really didn't have to do that.
I wasn't restricted. I didn't have one of those ankle monitors or anything you did.
My parents, if they could have, they would have. Not because they were great parents, but they were protective. They were very, very protective in a lot of ways. And I get it. I truly get that as I corral, you know, different aspects of that sort of thing
I think you gravitate toward these games, and there are some like dodgeball and freeze tag, or you know, frozen statues,
yeah,
or that everybody seemed to play,
yeah,
you know, in every neighborhood,
yeah. And frozen statues is what we called it, and then there's tag excuse me, but virtually they're the same. You're trying to get, you're working as a group, and you're trying to get somebody, you know, to the it person is chasing everybody else to try to get another person to be it. And that is so great. And parents were genius who ever thought of this, because talk about wear kids out.
That's right.
I mean, but frozen statues was a little bit more highbrow in that you the kids had to freeze. If the it person turned around, they had their back to the kids. The kids were running, trying to touch the it person. And when they turned around, they had to freeze. They couldn't move. They literally could not move. So that game went on a little bit more. It wasn't quite so crazy. But I actually made a list, Gary, of childhood games, and wondering if they're still played by kids. Jacks. I was big on that. I played Jacks.
Endlessly. I bet you were good.
I actually was, and you could play alone. And my sister was older than me, not a playmate. So I learned very early on to entertain myself. And Jacks in the summer. Oh my gosh.
You had to be really coordinated.
You could use different balls. You could use a little rubber ball, which was standard, came with your Jack set. But to make it really fun, you could use a golf ball. And the golf ball made this big sound on the, because I would play it on our front porch, and it made a great sound when it hit the porch. And then you had to, you know, do the scoop up the Jacks. And you don't hear anything about Jacks anymore.
No.
I never see them in the store. You never hear about that. Hide and seek was also really big and very frustrating to me as a kid.
Yeah. I think that was another one of those games that didn't matter what neighborhood you were in or where, hide and seek was kind of a universal, even adults play it.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole other podcast right there, Gary.
I bet one thing you did well, though, is skipping rope.
You do know that. You already do know that because I've told you before. But, again, it was either one of the single ropes that
you can be solo, but it's more fun, I think, with a couple of kids.
It is, where the kids stand at the end, and those are long ropes. This was always at school, and you went and you stood in a line, and you went in one at a time until you stepped on the rope, and then you were out. And, man, I was good at that, and even more fun for me, double rope.
Yeah, that's tricky.
It is so hard, but it was so much fun as a kid, but to make it even harder, you called somebody else into it.
Oh, that's right.
Remember?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
No, I was pretty good at hula hoops.
I can't really see you doing hula hoop. I was too.
Yeah. I mean, it took me a little while to get acclimated to it, but once I learned it, it was I could be pretty good.
Because that's not easy.
It's not.
Hula hoop's not easy.
No, it's not easy.
It's really not easy at all to do.
Now, what about hopscotch?
Again,
I don't think kids do that now, do they?
You know, I think.
Well, they might.
I think sometimes they do. Yeah, it's kind of
like, to get that chalk on the sidewalk.
My sidewalk, when I was young, at our house was so cool because it made this curve. It curved around it was long and it curved around a flower bed from the driveway to those steps of the front porch. So playing hopscotch on that was like this dream because you curved the little squares. And so it made it a little harder and a little more fun than going back and forth. And remember, and you'd pick up a rock or, you know, something out of the flower bed and no fancy thing. Just put it on the little square and play that till the cows came home. I mean, talk about fun. That was very fun. One thing that does take two, it's not really a team thing too, is badminton.
Yeah.
We would set that up in our yard, and you had the shuttlecock, which was really lightweight. Volleyball was never something in school. When we had to play volleyball, it terrified me. When it was my time to go, it was humiliating because I could never get my turn to serve. I could never get the ball over the net, never. But on the other hand, badminton, you had that lightweight little shuttlecock and a little racket, and you could play that in the yard with your friends endlessly. It was so fun.
The thing about badminton and it's more like volleyball is that it would occasionally go in the other neighbor's yard. And then you had to climb the fence or you had to try to get it out of the yard.
Yeah. We always played in the front yard because it was just where my parents would set up croquet as well.
And that's another one that we played a lot.
Yeah, croquet is really fun. And adults played it too in my family. And they would have these gatherings and they would play croquet. And really, the kids, they kind of shuffled them off to the side, you know, let us play. Yeah. And then you play, because they didn't want to play with kids, I'm sure. But it wasn't in a mean way, but it was just like the adults were playing. But my mother and her younger brother would get into it over croquet because they were both very competitive. My dad was competitive. He just breezed through. I mean, you know, he was one and done. He's the winner, hands down. But then my mother and her brother and, you know, other friends were there. But it was my mother and her brother that would just get into it because, you know, I mean, they loved each other dearly, but he was a cheater. He would cheat. And my mother couldn't stand that. It's like, you will not cheat. And when nobody was looking, he would move the ball with his foot. And he would do, there was an illegal thing that you can't do in croquet. I think it's where you put your foot on the ball that you're going to hit with the mallet to cause the other ball, it causes the other ball to go.
Right.
And you can't do that. That's against the rules. Okay. And he would do it anyway. And he didn't care. And he had the personality, as you know, my uncle, that was huge. And how could you resist him over very long? And he was also incredibly handsome. So he was quite the ladies' man.
Well, if you had siblings like we did, another thing you could do to pass the time was play cards. Go fish.
Again, because of difference in age and stuff.
Slapjack.
Well, my sister like to play gin, and I was no good at that. It's complicated for a kid.
It is.
And so you're right.
So she could beat you easy.
Well, yeah, but but she wouldn't play with me very much. I mean, when she realized that this was, you know, you're too young. You're, you know, off you go now. That I would play with friends. I would play Go Fish. Old Maid, loved Old Maid.
Yeah, Old Maid loved all the time. Old Maid
and Slapjack. But at a very, very young age, I did learn how to play solitaire. And again, because of entertaining myself. And I still play it. When we travel, I do it, but I do it on my phone.
Yeah.
And you will sit there beside me every now and then and go, here's a move.
Yeah.
You're missing a move.
Yeah.
You do that with word search, too.
Uh-huh.
It's like, I sit there for an hour, too. It's like, I can't find this last word. And then you'll lean over. It's like, well, there it is.
Yeah, you just need somebody else to look. It's so obvious. How'd you miss it?
So it's not a bad thing that some of these games are on devices because you can still have fun with them in a very different way. I guess that about covers it except for ping pong.
Did we mention red light, green light?
Red light, green light. Talk about that.
Yeah, that was, you know, you get the, you know, one person that's kind of the traffic cop, and then they would call out red light and green light, and then you call green light, you had to go as fast as you could until they called red light, and I'm trying to think of the rules around that.
Yeah, how did you win?
Yeah, I don't know. I think sometimes it was like, they would say red light, green light, and they'd say it real fast. And then someone would move when they're not supposed to. It's like it was a red light.
And then maybe they became it or something.
Yeah.
What was the game,
though? They
tried to
trick you.
What was the game where you had to follow the leader? Like the leader stood in front of everybody, and it's like stand on one foot, stand on two feet.
Oh, right.
I mean, and you would get put out right away because they would say it so fast. It's like, put your hand up, put your hand up. I can't remember if that had an official name or not.
Yeah, I don't know either. I know what you're talking about,
but I
though.
Think kids can be incredibly creative in these games.
Oh, super
and
creative.
Making up their own games.
Yeah.
And we did. Yeah, and as I said in a prior podcast in the summer, my friend that lived by my aunt, and I would play Nancy Drew. I mean, you make up your own games as kids.
Yeah.
And I think kids are still doing that because in some neighborhoods, kids still do get out and play outside. And They're not all always on a device.
Well, it's good for you to get out.
It is.
And good for your psyche. Yeah. So it's good to hear that they're still doing
it. But you know, I think it wouldn't hurt adults to do that too. And I guess that's why people go to the gym now. But to get, you know, we should gather up a few people and get outside and play frozen statues.
Yeah. Red light, green light.
Yeah. Anyway, it's this
fun to think about.
It is fun, and hadn't thought about it in a very long time, to these childhood games. And as the work goes on around here for weeks, I think...
Yeah, you may hear a lot more podcasts like this one.
But if you have played these games, let us hear from you.
Yeah, what games did you play?
Did you hate dodgeball as much as I certainly did? Did you have a favorite one? Were you good at some of them? Were you better at some than others? What are we missing? What have we not talked about? Let us know. Let us hear from you. And while you're at it, do visit our website, NorthPalmBeachLife.com. This guy right here, he keeps going with great stuff.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's North Palm Beach Life. Come visit us.
And you don't have to read a bunch of stuff if you don't want to. You can look at photo galleries and things like that.
Oh yeah, there's plenty to look at and listen to. Lots of podcasts.
Yeah, a lot of podcasts. This podcast and Travel Bistro will always rest on NorthPalmBeachLife.com, as well as 20 other platforms. And we know you're out there listening, but we also know you are going to our YouTube channel by the same name, NorthPalmBeachLife.com. Just for 1 second, talk about the video that has continued to be interesting to other people in a weird way.
Yeah, this was a couple of years ago. We took a cruise down to Mexico and made a stop in Cozumel, and while we were there, took a little excursion, to see a little Mayan cultural area. And they had food demonstrations and various ceremonies and things associated with the Mayans. But one of the things was poke to poke, which is the game the Mayans play, trying to put a ball through a hoop in this courtyard. And it was one of those life or death games at the time. But they recreate it and do a very good job of recreating how the Mayans played it. So took a video and of the game, put it on our YouTube channel, and didn't think too much more about it until I got an email from Korea that a Korean TV station had found the video and wanted to use it in their TV broadcast. And I said, well, why not just give us credit? And I guess they did. And then I really had not gone back and looked at the video in a while. I mean, most of our video views are in the hundreds and some are in the thousands. But when I checked the poke to poke video, it had 86,000 views. And as you reminded me, it was the Korean TV exposure. Mm-hmm. And just last week, we had another request to use it. So, you never know.
So we appreciate that. When you talk about putting a ball through a hoop, it's not like basketball.
No.
It's like a
hoop mounted on a wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a tire, actually.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And they say back in the day, instead of, you know, along with the ball, it could be an opponent's head.
Yeah, so let's not think about that.
No.
But anyway, do visit our YouTube channel
by
the same name. My books are on Amazon. Don't forget about that. Gary also writes for Splash Magazine Worldwide. So go visit him, GerryBarker, and you will find what he's written. And it varies from travel to restaurants to hotels, a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything, that's right.
And what am I missing? What am I leaving out? I guess that's it.
I think so, and thank you for inviting me.
Well, thank you. This has been a fun podcast. So let us hear from you people about these childhood games. We want to know. It's important to us. Thanks again, and I'm Pam Barker, Gigi in the 561. Stay with me.